Second Chronicles chapter 12. Second Chronicles 12. We'll read the entire chapter. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. And it came to pass that in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem because they had transgressed against the Lord, with 1,200 chariots and 80,000 horsemen, and the people were without number that came with him out of Egypt, the Lubans and the Succums and the Ethiopians. And he took the fenced cities which pertained to Judah and came to Jerusalem. Then came Shemaiah the prophet to Rehoboam and to the princes of Judah that were gathered together to Jerusalem because of Shishak, and said unto them, Thus saith the Lord, ye have forsaken me, and therefore have I also left you in the hand of Shishak. Whereupon the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves, and they said, The Lord is righteous. And when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, They have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance. And my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Nevertheless, they shall be his servants, that they may know my service and the service of the kingdom of the countries. So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord. And then the treasures of the king's house he took all. He carried away also the shields of gold which Solomon had made, instead of which King Rehoboam made shields of brass and committed them to the hands of the chief of the guard that kept the entrance of the king's house. And when the king entered into the house of the Lord, the guard came and fetched them and brought them again into the guard chamber. And when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him, that he would not destroy him altogether, and also in Judah things went well. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned, for Rehoboam was 140 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah and Ammonitess, and he did evil, because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Now the acts of Rehoboam, first and last, are they not written in the book of Shemaiah, the prophet, and of Iddo, the seer, concerning genealogies? And there were wars between Rehoboam and Jeroboam continually, and Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, and Abijah, his son, reigned in his stead. Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity we have to be in your house this evening. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God that can give us instructions, Lord. And I pray as we look at this passage of Scripture this evening, Lord, I pray that you'd help us for just a little bit, Lord, just one place. Lord, we don't want to stand alone. We need your help. We need your touch. We need your anointing. We need the liberty, Lord, it can come only from you. Lord, I pray again that you'd meet the needs of each and every one that's gathered here tonight, the prayer request that's been made tonight. Lord, I pray that you minister to hearts, Lord. I pray that you'd help us now for just a little bit, Lord. Just give us the right words to say. Help us be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Lord, and I pray for that one who may be here lost this evening. God, that you touch that heart. And this might be the night that they come to know you as their Savior. That one who may be watching by the way of the webcast. Lord, I pray that you'd touch that heart, Lord. And God, minister to your people this evening all around this county and other surrounding counties, Lord, this meeting in the house of God tonight. Lord, I pray that your will would be done. Lord, we love you. Thank you again for the opportunity we have to gather with your people on a Wednesday evening. Lord, have your way, and we'll give you glory and praise for all that you do and accomplish. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Verse 14 said, and he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. In studying the Word of God, you probably noticed that as a rule, at the end of each king's reign, their character is usually summed up and described as either doing evil in the sight of the Lord or doing right in the sight of the Lord. They gave a summary of their whole life in one of these sentences. And there will be a day when there will be a summary of our lives as well. This man Rehoboam was not half as bad as some of the other kings. Still, Scripture says that he did evil. He was not as an outrageous sinner as some were. He was not an Ahab. He was not even a Manasseh. He didn't live as that king did in his evil time, yet he did evil, the Bible tells us. And the reason why he did evil is given. One reason may have been that he had a bad mother. Notice how it's written of her just before the summary of his life. His mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And there is a little wonder that when the father was no better than he should have been, and when the mother was exceedingly bad, the summary of the son's life should be he did evil. But the Bible don't give this as the reason why Rehoboam did evil. He doesn't say that he did evil because he had a bad mother, nor because his father had not walked with God as he ought to have done. The reason was he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. The Hebrew proverb was in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 2 said, "What mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But the Lord said to His people through the prophet, as I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." God will judge each one according to their own deeds. And if you should unfortunately have been born of most ungodly parents who ever lived, there's no reason why God's grace should not begin to work in your family and my family as well. Notice again, it was not because of his upbringing that it is said that he did evil, not because of bad company or because of something that he did, but rather of something that he failed to do. And it said there in verse 14, it said, and he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. We was riding down the road tonight, and Miss Rebecca was talking about, we know that the world's evil, but you really don't realize how evil it is till you begin to look at simple things that shouldn't have no connotation of evil, and yet these companies will tag phrases and names on products that appeal to people today. There's a lot of different avenues that you could go down and look at this, but in reality, it wasn't because he did evil, but the reason he did evil was because he didn't prepare his heart. And I believe that's what's wrong with our society, that today a lot of people have not prepared their heart for the things of God. A lot of people in churches haven't prepared their hearts. We all fall short a lot of times in preparing our hearts, and we wonder sometimes why we're in such condition that we're in our homes, our families. Moms and dads won't prepare their hearts. And I believe a lot of times if they would take the initiative to prepare their hearts, then I believe it would impress some kids to serve God and live for God. Yet, even though a person has a evil or wicked mom or dad, it still should be through the grace of God that God could work in their heart and they could prepare their heart as a young person. I've seen a lot of people that's come out of bad situations. Just because you're in a bad situation don't mean that you have to stay in a bad situation or a bad lifestyle. And we used to talk about, to pick up these bus kids and that people are reaching out to some churches. They'll go pick up these kids and they'll bring them to church for just a little while. They'll hear the stories of Jesus and what Jesus did for them. And a lot of times some of those kids get saved. But then they have to go back into that same situation because of parents and a lot of times because of the situation. But I've seen a lot of preachers that's come off the bus route and that they let God work in their heart. One reason, because they prepared their heart. They heard the gospel story. They trusted Jesus as their personal Savior and they yielded their lives to Him. They prepared their hearts when they're young. And I know several young men that come off bus routes tonight that's pastoring churches that have made great preachers. Others that have come out of bad situations and evil situations and God did a work in their heart. But it stemmed from the fact that they prepared their heart. This is a whosoever will, let him come. Take of the bread of life freely. And there's a responsibility of a person. Young person, the best thing that you could ever do is to prepare your heart to serve God in your youth. So let me look just at two or three things this evening about Rehoboam here and how he prepared not his heart, what got him in trouble. Number one, we see the first thing that got him in trouble was his forsaking. His forsaking, there in verse 1 it said, "And it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him." The chapter starts out with the problem. No wonder he forsook the law of the Lord and he influenced others that followed him. And we still see that same scenario today. People forsake the house of God, they forsake the Word of God, they forsake the things of God, and they lead others with them. His father, Solomon, began his reign seeking the Lord and His wisdom, but not Rehoboam. He started out differently. He forsook God's wisdom in the council and turned to men for advice. You know, a lot of times people, they want to skirt God's wisdom, God's will, and God's direction, and they want to look to man. And they usually look to the wrong man. And there in 2 Chronicles chapter 10, if you want to back up and follow me, we're going to read several verses there. It said, "And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for to Shechem were all Israel come to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was in Egypt, whither he had fled from the presence of Solomon the king, heard it, that Jeroboam returned out of Egypt. And they sent and called him. So Jeroboam and all Israel came and spake to Rehoboam, saying, Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore ease thou somewhat the grievous servitude of thy father and his heavy yoke that he put upon us, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, Come again unto me after 3 days. And the people departed, and King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that had stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, saying, What counsel give ye to return answer to this people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou be kind to this people and please them and speak good words to them, they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel which the old men gave him and took counsel with the young men that were brought up with him that stood before him. And he said unto them, What advice give ye that we may return answer to this people which have spoken to me, saying, Ease somewhat the yoke that thy father did put upon us. And the young men that were brought up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou answer the people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it somewhat lighter for us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. For whereas my father put a heavy yoke upon you, I will put more to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day as the king bade, saying, come again to me on the third day. And the king answered them roughly. And King Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the old men and answered them after the advice of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add thereto. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Usually when men don't go to God for advice, they generally accept the very worst form of advice. And we find that in the life of Rehoboam here. As he went to the old men, they gave him pretty good advice. They told him what he could do to pull the kingdom together, which we know it was of the Lord, but in reality, though, the story is telling us exactly what people do. They took the bad advice. He took the advice of these young men. And we find that he forsook the law of God there in verse 1. And it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. When we get that point in our life, when we forsake the Word of God, we'll get headed for trouble. And that's exactly what Rehoboam did here. We find that he forsook the law of God. He took the advice of men. It's funny to me a lot of times that people always look out the worst advice that they can get. The Bible tells us in Psalms 1:1 said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. But most of the time when people want advice, they want somebody to sympathize with them, they want someone to agree with them. Here are these old men that had been with his father. They gave him the advice that would have pulled the kingdom together, but we'd read the story and we find that the kingdom was split in two and 10 tribes went. Jeroboam was king over them and Rehoboam ended up the two tribes, Judah and Bethlehem. And Judah had a few good kings. After Rehoboam, they had a few good kings, but Israel never had any kings. They set up false gods and false idols. And no doubt, Rehoboam here, he had the ability to have brought these two kingdoms together. Yet, because of bad advice, he took from these young men. And a lot of times people will take that bad advice. A lot of times young people get in trouble. They listen to their peers. They don't want to listen to somebody that's had the experience and had the wisdom and knew what it would take in any given situation. But we see it's forsaken. And when you forsake the Word of God, you're headed for trouble. Number one, when you forsake the Word of God, you're headed for trouble. When you won't pay attention, you won't listen to preaching, you won't listen to what the Bible says, you won't read your Bible, won't study your Bible, won't pray. The Bible says men ought always to pray. The Bible says that we can approach the throne of grace with boldness. But yet we fail so many times because of our forsaking of the important things. Rehoboam was at a time of decision here in his life and he forsook the law of God. Step number one of his downfall. Then we see not only his forsaking, but we see his forgery there in verse 10. It said, instead of which King Rehoboam made shields of brass and committed them to the hands of the chief of the guard that kept entrance of the king's house. The king here did that which was right at first, but he had no heart in doing it. He obeyed the prophets in disbanding his forces and going to war with the followers of Jeroboam, and one might think that he feared God, but he didn't really. A lot of times we think people fear God, but in reality they don't. If you watch them long enough, you'll find out. Hey, it's one thing to be right in appearance, it's another thing to be right in your heart. It was soon evident that his heart was not right towards God, for he imitated his father Solomon in his faults. We find that he followed the example of his father in taking multiple wives. I was reading this a little bit earlier. In chapter 2 Kings, that he went after and he took wives of all that he would, basically. But anyway, he followed the example of his father in taking multiple wives. Solomon, the wisest man in the world, he failed. He got in trouble because of his love of many strange women. It was never right to do that. And he had multiple wives. But he followed the example of his father in taking multiple wives. And then he replaced the stolen shields of gold with the shields of brass. Rehoboam here will find he did a very strange thing when this happened. Instead of falling on his face before God and saying, "Oh God, the enemy has come and have taken away the precious shields of gold," he instead commanded his servants to go get some brass and make brazen shields. He polished them up. Hey, that's what we've done today. We've traded gold for brass and power for prestige. And we find instead of repenting before God and asking for forgiveness and getting right with God, we find that he polished things up. He set up these brass shields. Hey, brass in the Bible is a type of judgment. And you'll find out reading this story that that's where it ended up. He shined them up and acted just like nothing had ever happened. Brass is a cheap imitation of gold. It requires more work to keep its shine and luster. And can I say to you that today we're replacing the shields of gold with shields of brass all around. We've traded the shield of preaching is being replaced with shields of teaching and dramas. I remember back in the old, we're old people. I remember back in my younger days, you'd go to church and you always heard preachers get in the pulpit and they preach. They'd take a text and they'd preach. And today, most everything, and I'm not saying there's nothing bad with teaching. All preaching should have some teaching. But all teaching should have some preaching. It shouldn't just be, the Bible said, Peter said, I believe it was, said they'd heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And that's what the Joel Osteens, those of this world, those preachers that's preaching a social gospel, a feel good about yourself, that's why the crowds are following them. They want to hear that. They don't want to hear how bad we are, what we stand in need of. Hey, that we need to prepare our hearts to follow the Lord instead of following man. But we've traded. The shield of preaching has been replaced with shields of teaching and drama. The shield of holiness with the shield of worldliness. The shield of prayer with the shield of programs. The shield of conviction and the consistency with the shield of complacency and convenience. We're in a mess today. And it all boils down to one thing, I believe. What happened with Rehoboam here? Number one, he forsook the law of the Lord. We forsook the Word of God, its importance in our lives. And then, number two, he prepared not his heart. I wonder if we would all get down to business. All around, and not just us here, but everyone in the church world today, if we got down to business and got back to the Bible and we got back to preparing our hearts to seek God's will for our lives, I wonder what change we would experience in our world today. Everybody's looking at the politicians and what's going on up in Washington, the impeachment and all this stuff. Hey, honestly, I don't know how it's going to turn out. But I do know one thing. I believe that if God's people would repent, as 1 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 said, if my people which are called with my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then that we would hear our prayers and heal our land. I believe it's going to take a people preparing their hearts. It's going to take some young people that's coming along, hey, that's willing to prepare their hearts and be honor the Word of God in their lives. But the further along, the more we see the forsaken and the getting away from the Word of God. Hey, this Bible tells us how to run our churches. But we don't do it no more. Most churches are little more than entertainment centers. And there's nothing wrong with entertainment, some good entertainment, but not in the house of God. Hey, I like good singing as well as the next person. I think if you're going to sing, it all be good. I think if you're going to have a church service, I think it ought to be orderly. I believe you ought to have some direction when you come into the house of God. And it ain't always high. And sometimes it's dry. And sometimes it's dead. But it ought not be formalism all the time either. It ought not be so predictable that you know what's going to happen. But we find we've replaced some important things in our churches. We see his forgery. Yeah, he forged the brazen shields to replace the gold shields. Keep everybody in the dark, no doubt. Then we see, the third thing we see is failure. There in verse 14 said, and he did evil. And it tells why. Because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Hey, you want to know why there's so much evil and so much wickedness in this world today? It's because men are not preparing their hearts. They're not preparing their hearts to seek the Lord. I mean, he began well in the first 3 years of his reign. Hey, the nation worshiped God, but as soon as he prospered, he grew proud and forsook God and took the whole nation with him. We look around today and we see this world and what a mess and what is following. What is following? It used to mean something to be a Christian. Did you know it? But this world, we're the bad guys now. In most realms, we're the bad guys. And I know there's a lot of things that's crept into churches that claim to be churches and places are a mess and crookedness and all kinds of stuff. Hey, but I'm going to tell you, it means something to be a Christian. But it seems like because this world has not prepared their heart. You follow Israel and you see because of this man, he set the tone. And like I said before, Judah and Benjamin, they had a few good kings along the way. Israel never had no good king. And all stem from, I believe, Rehoboam here when he forsook the law of the Lord. And he started leading them down the wrong road. But every once in a while, you see God would raise up somebody. And they'd say at the end of that chapter, you'll read, he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Why did he do that? Which was right because he prepared his heart. He seen the need. Usually when they'd have a little touch of revival, what happened? They brought back the Word of God, the law of God. And God would begin to move. But we find out, find here in this passage of Scripture that he had no care of serving God whatever was popular was the direction he headed. Someone once said, if no care or effort is made in doing and making the heart right, it must go wrong. So, what do we need? We need to realize our need for God. If there's anything we need tonight, it's God in our presence, in our services. It's God in our family life, in our home life. If there's anything this nation needs, it's God. And until people turn back and cry to God for help, I don't know where we're going to end up. You don't hardly hear nobody getting saved no more much. No worse. I'm glad God's still saving some people around, and He's going to continue to save. But you don't hear of people getting saved in revival meetings like they used to. You'll hear one or two and praise God for one or two. But I remember when, growing up, it wasn't unusual to hear of 10, 12, 15, 20 people getting saved in a meeting. Hey, we need God like never before. We need to prepare our hearts for what He's got for us. Young people, if you're going to make it in this life, you're going to have to prepare your heart. You're going to have to get a hold of the Word of God instead of forsaking the Word of God. And then after we realize our need for God and we cry to God for help, then we need to submit ourselves to His guidance. So many folk today going in their own way. And it's easy to go in your own way. It's easy to go in your own way. Rehoboam didn't act in such a way, and because he didn't seek the Lord, he did evil. He could have been a whole lot better king if he'd have prepared his heart, if he hadn't forsaken the law of God. And I know there's a lot of other issues here in this passage of Scripture of the direction that they went. As I mentioned a while ago, Israel never had no more good kings. They didn't have a one. You go back and read it and follow that line. They never had any good kings. They went into captivity, Assyrian captivity, 100 years before Judah did. God was long-suffering because of His love for His people. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Hey, the reason we're far along as we are now and things still going as well they are is because we're serving a long-suffering God. If it was us, we'd probably have dropped the axe, wouldn't we? But God, He's long-suffering. He's love. God is love. But things are winding up. And unless we as God's people prepare our hearts, no telling what we're going to see in the next generation if the Lord don't come back. We're in a mess. And I believe America, we can see where America's headed through looking at the kings of Israel and how Israel did. God gave us this great land here and brought people here and settled this country, and we took and took from God and turned our backs on Him. We've gotten a long ways away from Him. And we need to prepare our hearts and seek the Lord while He still can be found. Hey, one of these days this thing's going to end up. One of these days, God's going to say, "Son, go get your bride." And this thing's going to be over that we know right now. And it'd be fine with me if He'd come today. Are you ready? Have you prepared your heart, first of all, for that day? Eternity's a long time. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Lord, thank You again for the time we have together in the house of God, Lord. We know maybe things are a little scattered this evening, but Lord, we realize God, our need to prepare our hearts, Lord, in these days in which we live in. Lord, I thank You for the hand of God that's been on my life down through the years, Lord, as we look back and we see, Lord, Your guiding hand in our lives. Lord, and I just pray that You'd help us all just to draw closer to You. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to prepare for the days that lies ahead. Prepare our hearts, Lord, to serve You in these dark days that we face. Lord, I pray for our nation, Lord, that men would see, Lord, we need God in our land once again. Lord, we need You in control instead of trying to control things through parties and positions. Lord, we need You this evening. Help us, Lamb, as we go our separate ways, Lord. I pray that You bless this church. Lord, bless Your people. Lord, I pray for other churches that's around that's still preaching the Word of God. Lord, I pray that You'd meet the needs of each and every one. Lord, we love You. We thank You again for the opportunity to be here this evening. In Jesus' name and Jesus' sake, amen.